Model Commercial Driver License Manual, 2005 CDL Testing Model, July 2010. CDL Driver's Manual Copyright AAMVA, all rights reserved. This material is based upon work supported by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration under Cooperative Agreement Number DTFH61-97-X-00017. Any opinions, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this publication are those of the author or authors and do not necessarily reflect the view of the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Picture, TAT, Truckers Against Trafficking. Make the call. Save lives. National Hotline, 1-888-373-7888. Continuing with the text. Human trafficking is modern-day slavery. Traffickers use force, fraud, and coercion to control their victims. Any minor engaged in commercial sex is a victim of human trafficking. Trafficking can occur in many locations, including truck stops, restaurants, rest areas, brothels, strip clubs, private homes, etc. Truckers are the eyes and the ears of our nation's highways. If you see a minor working in any of those areas or suspect pimp control, call the national hotline and report your tip. 1-888-3737-888, U.S. 1-800-222-TIPS, Canada. For law enforcement to open an investigation on your tip, they need actionable information. Specific tips helpful when reporting to the hotline would include descriptions of cars, make, model, color, license plate number, etc., and people, height, weight, hair color, eye color, age, etc. Take a picture if you can. Specific times and dates. When did you see the event in question take place? What day was it? Addresses and locations where suspicious activity took place. Trafficking red flags to look for. Lack of knowledge of their community or whereabouts. Not in control of their own identification documents, ID or passport. Restricted or controlled communication. Not allowed to speak for self. Demeanor. Fear, anxiety, depression, submissive, tense, nervous. Questions to ask. Are you being paid? Are you being watched or followed? Are you free to leave? Come and go as you please? Are you physically or sexually abused? Are you or your family threatened? What is the nature of the threats? Report by email, report@polaris.org. Warning. Please do not approach traffickers. Call the hotline, and they will call the FBI and local police to deal with them and rescue the victims. Approaching traffickers is not only dangerous for you and their victims, but could lead to problems in the eventual prosecution of traffickers. Go to www.truckersagainstraffficking.org for more information. Make the call, save lives. Section 1, Introduction. This section covers commercial driver license tests, driver disqualifications, other safety rules, international registration program, medical requirements. There is a federal requirement that each state have minimum standards for the licensing of commercial drivers. This manual provides driver license testing information for drivers who wish to have a commercial driver license, CDL. This manual does not provide information on all the federal and state requirements needed before you can drive a commercial motor vehicle, CMV. You may have to contact your state driver licensing authority for additional information. you must have a CDL to operate. Any single vehicle with a gross vehicle weight rating, GVWR, of 26,001 pounds or more. A combination vehicle with a gross combination weight rating of 26,001 or more pounds, if the trailer or trailers has a GVWR of 10,001 or more pounds. A vehicle designed to transport 16 or more passengers, including the driver. Any size vehicle which requires hazardous material placards or is carrying material listed as a select agent or toxin in 42 CFR Part 73. Federal regulations through the Department of Homeland Security require a background check and fingerprinting for the hazardous materials endorsement. Contact your local Department of Driver Licensing for more information. Your state may have additional definitions of CMVs. To get a CDL, you must pass knowledge and skills tests. This manual will help you pass the tests. This manual is not a substitute for a truck driver training class or program. Formal training is the most reliable way to learn the many special skills required for safely driving a large commercial vehicle and becoming a professional driver in the trucking industry. Figure 1.1 helps you determine if you need a CDL. Chart on page 1-1, figure 1.1, do you need a CDL? Does the vehicle or combination of vehicles have a manufacturer's weight rating, GVWR, over 26,000 pounds? If no, is the vehicle designed to carry 16 or more people, including the driver? If yes, you need a Class C CDL. If no, does the vehicle require hazardous material placards or transport a select agent or toxin? If yes, you need a Class C CDL. If no, you do not need a CDL. Does the vehicle or combination of vehicles have a manufacturer's weight rating, GVWR, over 26,000 pounds? If yes, is the vehicle a combination vehicle towing a unit over 10,000 pounds GVWR? If no, does the single vehicle have a GVWR over 26,000 pounds? If yes, you need a Class B CDL. If no, is the vehicle designed to carry 16 or more people, including the driver? If yes, you need a Class C CDL. If no, does the vehicle require hazardous material placards or transport a select agent or toxin? If yes, you need a Class C CDL. If no, you do not need a CDL. Does the vehicle or combination of vehicles have a manufacturer's weight rating, GVWR, over 26,000 pounds? If yes, is the vehicle a combination vehicle towing a unit over 10,000 pounds GVWR? If yes, you need a Class A CDL. Continuing with the text. 1.1. Commercial driver license tests. 1.1.1. Knowledge tests. You will have to take one or more knowledge tests, depending on what class of license and what endorsements you need. The CDL knowledge tests include the general knowledge test, taken by all applicants. The passenger transport test, taken by all bus driver applicants. The air brakes test, which you must take if your vehicle has air brakes, including air over hydraulic brakes. The combination vehicles test, which is required if you want to drive combination vehicles. The hazardous materials test, required if you want to haul hazardous materials as defined in 49 CFR 383.5. In order to obtain this endorsement, you are also required to pass a Transportation Security Administration, TSA, background check. The tanker test, required if you want to haul a liquid or liquid gas in a permanently mounted cargo tank rated at 119 gallons or more, or a portable tank rated at 1,000 gallons or more. The doubles and triples test, required if you want to pull double or triple trailers. The school bus test, required if you want to drive a school bus. 1.1.2, skills tests. If you pass the required knowledge test or tests, you can take the CDL skills tests. There are three types of general skills that will be tested: pre-trip inspection, basic vehicle control, and on-road driving. You must take these tests in the type of vehicle for which you wish to be licensed. Any vehicle that has components marked or labeled cannot be used for the pre-trip inspection test. Pre-trip vehicle inspection. You will be tested to see if you know whether your vehicle is safe to drive. You will be asked to do a pre-trip inspection of your vehicle and explain to the examiner what you would inspect and why. Basic vehicle control. You will be tested on your skill to control the vehicle. You will be asked to move your vehicle forward, backward, and turn it within a defined area. These areas may be marked with traffic lanes, cones, barriers, or something similar. The examiner will tell you how each control test is to be done. On-road test. You will be tested on your skill to safely drive your vehicle in a variety of traffic situations. The situations may include left and right turns, intersections, railroad crossings, curves, up and down grades, single or multi-lane roads, streets or highways. The examiner will tell you where to drive. Figure 1.2 details which sections of this manual you should study for each particular class of license and for each endorsement. Table on page 1-2, figure 1.2, what to study. Continuing with the text. 1.2, CDL disqualifications. 1.2.1, general. You may not drive a commercial motor vehicle if you are disqualified for any reason. 1.2.2, alcohol, leaving the scene of an accident and commission of a felony. It is illegal to operate a CMV if your blood alcohol concentration, BAC, is 0.04% or more. If you operate a CMV, you shall be deemed to have given your consent to alcohol testing. You will lose your CDL for at least 1 year for a first offense for driving a CMV if your blood alcohol concentration is 0.4% or higher, driving a CMV under the influence of alcohol, refusing to undergo blood alcohol testing, driving a CMV while under the influence of a controlled substance, leaving the scene of an accident involving a CMV, committing a felony involving the use of a CMV, driving a CMV when the CDL is suspended, causing a fatality through negligent operation of a CMV. You will lose your CMV for at least 3 years if the offense occurs while you are operating a CMV that is placarded for hazardous materials. You will lose your CDL for life for a second offense. You will lose your CDL for life if you use a CMV to commit a felony involving controlled substances. You will be put out of service for 24 hours if you have any detectable amount of alcohol under 0.04%. 1.2.3, serious traffic violations. Serious traffic violations are excessive speeding, 15 mph or more above the posted limit, reckless driving, improper or erratic lane changes, following a vehicle too closely, traffic offenses committed in a CMV in connection with fatal traffic crashes, driving a CMV without obtaining a CDL or having a CDL in the driver's possession, and driving a CMV without the proper class of CDL and/or endorsements. You will lose your CDL for at least 60 days if you have committed 2 serious traffic violations within a 3-year period involving a CMV, for at least 120 days for 3 or more serious traffic violations within a 3-year period involving a CMV. 1.2.4, violation of out-of-service orders. You will lose your CDL for at least 90 days if you have committed your first violation of an out-of-service order. For at least 1 year if you have committed two violations of an out-of-service order in a 10-year period. For at least 3 years if you have committed three or more violations of an out-of-service order in a 10-year period. 1.2.5 Railroad Highway Grade Crossing Violations. You will lose your CDL for at least 60 days for your first violation. For at least 120 days for your second violation within a 3-year period. For at least 1 year for your third violation within a 3-year period. These violations include violation of a federal, state, or local law or regulation pertaining to one of the following 6 offenses at a railroad highway grade crossing. For drivers who are not required to always stop, failing to stop before reaching the crossing if the tracks are not clear. For drivers who are not required to always stop, failing to slow down and check that the tracks are clear of an approaching train. For drivers who are always required to stop, failing to stop before driving onto the crossing. For all drivers, failing to have sufficient space to drive completely through the crossing without stopping. For all drivers, failing to obey a traffic control device or the directions of an enforcement official at the crossing. For all drivers, failing to negotiate a crossing because of insufficient undercarriage clearance. 1.2.6 Hazardous Materials Endorsement, Background Check, and Disqualifications. If you require a hazardous materials endorsement, you will be required to submit your fingerprints and be subject to a background check. You will be denied or you will lose your hazardous materials endorsement if you are not a lawful permanent resident of the United States. Renounce your United States citizenship. Are wanted or under indictment for certain felonies. Have a conviction in military or civilian court for certain felonies. Have been adjudicated as a mental defective or committed to a mental institution. Are considered to pose a security threat as determined by the Transportation Security Administration. The background check procedures vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Your licensing agency will provide you with all the information you need to complete the required TSA background check procedures. 1.2.7 Traffic Violations in Your Personal Vehicle. The Motor Carrier Safety Improvement Act, MCSIA, of 1999 requires a CDL holder to be disqualified from operating a commercial motor vehicle if the CDL holder has been convicted of certain types of moving violations in their personal vehicle. If your privilege to operate your personal vehicle is revoked, canceled, or suspended due to violations of traffic control laws, other than parking violations, you will also lose your CDL driving privileges. If your privilege to operate your personal vehicle is revoked, canceled, or suspended due to alcohol, controlled substance, or felony violations, you will lose your CDL for 1 year. If you are convicted of a second violation in your personal vehicle or CMV, you will lose your CDL for life. If your license to operate your personal vehicle is revoked, canceled, or suspended, you may not obtain a hardship license to operate a CMV. 1.3 Other CDL Rules. There are other federal and state rules that affect drivers operating CMVs in all states. Among them are, you cannot have more than one license. If you break this rule, a court may fine you up to $5,000 or put you in jail and keep your home state license and return any others. You must notify your employer within 30 days of conviction for any traffic violations, except parking. This is true no matter what type of vehicle you are driving. You must notify your motor vehicle licensing agency within 30 days if you are convicted in any other jurisdiction of any traffic violation, except parking. This is true no matter what type of vehicle you are driving. You must notify your employer within 2 business days if your license is suspended, revoked, or canceled, or if you are disqualified from driving. You must give your employer information on all driving jobs you have held for the past 10 years. You must do this when you apply for a commercial driving job. No one can drive a commercial motor vehicle without a CDL. A court may fine you up to $5,000 or put you in jail for breaking this rule. If you have a hazardous materials endorsement, you must notify and surrender your hazardous materials endorsement to the state that issued your CDL within 24 hours of any conviction or indictment in any jurisdiction, civilian or military, for, or found not guilty by reason of insanity, of a disqualifying crime listed in 49 CFR 1572.103, who is adjudicated as a mental defective or committed to a mental institution, as specified in 49 CFR 1572.109, or who renounces his or her U.S. citizenship. Your employer may not let you drive a commercial motor vehicle if you have more than one license, or if your CDL is suspended or revoked. A court may fine the employer up to $5,000, or put him or her in jail for breaking this rule. All states are connected to one computerized system to share information about CDL drivers. The states will check on drivers' accident records to be sure that drivers do not have more than one CDL. You are not allowed to hold a mobile telephone to conduct a voice communication or dial a mobile telephone by pressing more than a single button when driving. You are not allowed to send or read text messages while driving. You must be properly restrained by a safety belt at all times while operating a commercial motor vehicle. The safety belt design holds the driver securely behind the wheel during a crash, helping the driver to control the vehicle and reduces the chance of serious injury or death. If you do not wear a safety belt, you are 4 times more likely to be fatally injured if you are thrown from the vehicle. Your state may have additional rules that you must also obey. 1.4. International Registration Plan. International Fuel Tax Agreement. If you operate a CDL-required vehicle in interstate commerce, the vehicle, with few exceptions, is required to be registered under the International Registration Plan, IRP, and the International Fuel Tax Agreement, IFTA. These federally mandated programs provide for the equitable collection and distribution of vehicle license fees and motor fuels taxes for vehicles traveling throughout the 48 contiguous United States and 10 Canadian provinces. Under the IRP, jurisdictions must register apportioned vehicles, which includes issuing license plates and cab cards or proper credentials, calculate, collect and distribute IRP fees, audit carriers for accuracy of reported distance and fees, and enforce IRP requirements. Registrant responsibilities under the plan include applying for IRP registration with base jurisdiction, providing proper documentation for registration, paying appropriate IRP registration fees, properly displaying registration credentials, maintaining accurate distance records, and making records available for jurisdiction review. The basic concept behind IFTA is to allow a licensee, motor carrier, to license in a base jurisdiction for the reporting and payment of motor fuel use taxes. Under the IFTA, a licensee is issued 1 set of credentials which will authorize operations through all IFTA member jurisdictions. The fuel use taxes collected pursuant to the IFTA are calculated based on the number of miles, kilometers, traveled and the number of gallons, liters, consumed in the member jurisdictions. The licensee files 1 quarterly tax return with the base jurisdiction by which the licensee will report all operations through all IFTA member jurisdictions. It is the base jurisdiction's responsibility to remit the taxes collected to other member jurisdictions and to represent the other member jurisdictions in the tax collection process, including the performance of audits. An IFTA licensee must retain records to support the information reported on the IFTA quarterly tax return. The IRP registrant and the IFTA licensee may be the vehicle owner or the vehicle operator. The requirement for acquiring IRP plates for a vehicle and IFTA license for a motor carrier is determined by the definitions from the IRP plan and the IFTA for qualified vehicle and qualified motor vehicle. For purposes of IRP, a qualified vehicle is, except as provided below, any power unit that is used or intended for use in two or more member jurisdictions and that is used for the transportation of persons for hire or designed, used, or maintained primarily for the transportation of property and, 1, has two axles and a gross vehicle weight or registered gross vehicle weight in excess of 26,000 pounds, 11,793.401 kilograms, or, 2, has three or more axles regardless of weight, or, 3, is used in combination when the gross vehicle weight of such combination exceeds 26,000 pounds, 11,793.401 kilograms. While similar, the qualified motor vehicle in IFTA means a motor vehicle used, designed, or maintained for transportation of persons or property and, 1, having two axles and a gross vehicle weight or registered gross vehicle weight exceeding 26,000 pounds or 11,797 kilograms, or, 2, having three or more axles regardless of weight, or, 3, is used in combination when the weight of such combination exceeds 26,000 pounds or 11,797 kilograms gross vehicle or registered gross vehicle weight. Qualified motor vehicle does not include recreational vehicles. If the vehicle you operate is registered under IRP and you are a motor carrier licensed under IFTA, then you are required to comply with the mandatory record-keeping requirements for operating the vehicle. A universally accepted method of capturing this information is through the completion of an individual vehicle distance record, IVDR, sometimes referred to as a driver trip report. This document reflects the distance traveled and fuel purchased for a vehicle that operates interstate under apportioned IRP registration and IFTA fuel tax credentials. Although the actual format of the IVDR may vary, the information that is required for proper record keeping does not. In order to satisfy the requirements for individual vehicle distance records, these documents must include the following information. Distance. Per Article Roman numeral 4 of the IRP plan, 1. Date of trip, starting and ending. 2. Trip origin and destination, city and state or province. 3. Route or routes of travel. 4. Beginning and ending odometer or hub odometer reading of the trip. 5. Total distance traveled. 6. In-jurisdiction distance. 7. Power unit number or vehicle identification number. Fuel. Per Section P560 of the IFTA Procedures Manual, .300, an acceptable receipt or invoice must include, but shall not be limited to, the following. .005, date of purchase. .010, seller's name and address. .015, number of gallons or liters purchased. .020, fuel type. .025, price per gallon or liter or total amount of sale. .030, unit number or other unique vehicle identifier. .035, purchaser's name. An example of an IVDR that must be completed in its entirety for each trip can be found in Figure 1 below. Figure 1 appears on page 1-7. Continuing with the text. Each individual IVDR should be filled out for only one vehicle. The rules to follow when trying to determine how and when to log an odometer reading are the following. At the beginning of the day, when leaving the state or province, at the end of the trip or day. Not only do the trips need to be logged, but the fuel purchases need to be documented as well. You must obtain a receipt for all fueling and include it with your completed IVDR. Make sure that any trips that you enter are always filled out in descending order and that your trips include all states and provinces that you traveled through on your route. There are different routes that a driver may take, and most of the miles may be within one state or province. Whether or not the distance you travel is primarily in one jurisdiction, or spread among several jurisdictions, all information for the trip must be recorded. This includes the dates, the routes, odometer readings, and fuel purchases. By completing this document in full and keeping all records required by both the IRP and the IFTA, you will have ensured that you and your company are in compliance with all state and provincial laws surrounding fuel and distance record-keeping requirements. The IVDR serves as the source document for the calculation of fees and taxes that are payable to the jurisdictions in which the vehicle is operated, so these original records must be maintained for a minimum of 4 years. In addition, these records are subject to audit by the taxing jurisdictions. Failure to maintain complete and accurate records could result in fines, penalties, and suspension or revocation of IRP registrations and IFTA licenses. For additional information on the IRP and the requirements related to the IRP, contact your base jurisdiction motor vehicle department or IRP Incorporated, the official repository for the IRP. Additional information can be found on the IRP Incorporated website at www.irponline.org. There is a training video on the website homepage available in English, Spanish, and French. For additional information on IFTA and the requirements related to IFTA, contact the appropriate agency in your base jurisdiction. You will also find useful information about the agreement at the official repository of IFTA at http://www.iftach.org/index.php. Picture on page 1-7, figure 1, individual vehicle mileage and fuel record. Example. Continuing with the text. 1.5. Medical documentation requirements. Starting January 30, 2012, and no later than January 30, 2014, if you are applying for a CDL permit or are renewing, upgrading, adding endorsements to, or transferring a CDL from another state, you are required to provide information to your state driver's license agency, SDLA, regarding the type of commercial motor vehicle operation you drive in or expect to drive in with your CDL. Drivers operating in certain types of commerce will be required to submit a current medical examiner's certificate and/or any medical variance documents that you have been issued, i.e. vision, skills performance, or diabetic waivers, or other exemptions, to your SDLA to obtain a certified medical status as part of your driving record. You must contact your SDLA to obtain information regarding the requirement for submitting these documents. If you are required to have a certified medical status and fail to provide and keep up to date your medical examiner's certificate, you become not certified and may lose your CDL. For the purpose of complying with the new requirements for medical certification, it is important to know how you are using the CMV. The following information will help you decide how to self-certify. 1.5.1, interstate or intrastate commerce. Do you, or will you, use a CDL to operate a CMV in interstate or intrastate commerce. Interstate commerce is when you drive a CMV from one state to another state or a foreign country, between two places within a state, but during part of the trip, the CMV crosses into another state or foreign country, or between two places within a state, but the cargo or passengers are part of a trip that began or will end in another state or foreign country. Intrastate commerce is when you drive a CMV within a state and you do not meet any of the descriptions above for interstate commerce. If you operate in both intrastate commerce and interstate commerce, you must choose interstate commerce. 1.5.2, inter or intrastate commerce, status non-accepted or accepted. Once you decide whether you will operate in interstate commerce or intrastate commerce, you must decide whether you will operate, or exempt to operate, in a non-accepted or accepted status. This decision will tell you to which of the four types of commerce you must self-certify. Interstate commerce. You operate in accepted interstate commerce when you drive a CMV in interstate commerce only for the following accepted activities: to transport school children and/or school staff between home and school, as federal, state, or local government employees, to transport human corpses or sick or injured persons, fire truck or rescue vehicle drivers during emergencies and other related activities, primarily in the transportation of propane winter heating fuel when responding to an emergency condition requiring immediate response, such as damage to a propane gas system after a storm or flooding, in response to a pipeline emergency condition requiring immediate response, such as a pipeline leak or rupture, in custom harvesting on a farm or to transport farm machinery and supplies used in the custom harvesting operation to and from a farm, or to transport custom harvested crops to storage or market, beekeeper in the seasonal transportation of bees, controlled and operated by a farmer, but is not a combination vehicle, power unit and towed unit, and is used to transport agricultural products, farm machinery or farm supplies, no placardable hazardous materials, to and from a farm and within 150 air miles of the farm, as a private motor carrier of passengers for non-business purposes, or to transport migrant workers. If you answered yes to one or more of the above activities as the only operation in which you drive, you operate in accepted interstate commerce and do not need a federal medical examiner's certificate. If you answered no to all of the above activities, you operate in non-accepted interstate commerce and are required to provide a current medical examiner's certificate, 49 CFR 391.45, commonly referred to as a medical certificate or DOT card, to your state driver licensing agency, SDLA. Most CDL holders who drive CMVs in interstate commerce are non-accepted interstate commerce drivers. If you operate in both accepted interstate commerce and non-accepted interstate commerce, you must choose non-accepted interstate commerce to be qualified to operate in both types of interstate commerce. Intrastate commerce. You operate in accepted intrastate commerce when you drive a CMV only in intrastate commerce activities for which your state of licensure has determined do not require you to meet the state's medical certification requirements. Contact your SDLA about their requirements. You operate in non-accepted intrastate commerce when you drive a CMV only in intrastate commerce and are required to meet your state of licensure's medical certification requirements. Contact your SDLA about their requirements. If you operate in both accepted intrastate commerce and non-accepted intrastate commerce, you must choose non-accepted intrastate commerce. 1.5.3, self-certification statements. When completing an application for your CDL, you will be required to check the box next to the statement that describes your status. The actual statements on your application may vary from those shown below. Interstate non-accepted. I certify that I operate in interstate commerce, that I am subject to and meet the federal DOT medical card requirements under 49 CFR Part 391, and that I am required to obtain a medical examiner's certificate. Interstate accepted. I certify that I operate or expect to operate in interstate commerce, but engage exclusively in transportation or operations accepted under 49 CFR Sections 390.3F, 391.2, 391.68, or 398.3 from all or parts of the qualification requirements of 49 CFR Part 391, and that I am not required to obtain a medical examiner's certificate. Intrastate non-accepted. I certify that I operate or expect to operate entirely in intrastate commerce, that I am subject to and meet the medical requirements for my state, and that I am required to obtain a medical examiner's certificate. Intrastate accepted. I certify that I operate or expect to operate entirely in intrastate commerce, that I am not subject to the medical requirements for my state, and that I am not required to obtain a medical examiner's certificate.